Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 34. And I'd like to begin a reading lesson there with verse 11. And I ask an interest in your prayers today. Job chapter 34, beginning with verse 11. I'm going to read several verses this morning. This was the words of a man named Elihu. And he said, "For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Who hath given him a charge over the earth? Or who hath disposed the whole world? If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. If now thou hast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my words. Shall even he that hateth right govern? And wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, ye are ungodly? How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor? For they all are the work of his hands. In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled. And the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away. And the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings." That's reading this morning for a scripture reading from Job chapter 34, verses 11 through 21. The title that I would like to use today for my message is, "It Comes Down to This." I'm sure that you have heard that phrase used, that saying used, and someone talking about a situation, and perhaps things are being summarized, and when the main point is to be made, somebody says, "Well, you know, it all comes down to this." And that's what I want you to think about with me this morning. It all comes down to this. I want to talk to you for just a moment about your time here on the earth. If you live the 70 years that we read about in the 90th Psalm, when Moses told us there the expectancy of a man's life is 80 years, perhaps through reason of strength, some might reach 80 years. But if you reach the 70-year expectation that we read about in that psalm, and Brother Wheat and Delisa are our math teachers here, I want to tell you, I might be wrong in this. My figures may not be exactly right. I thought about turning them in to you and having you grade them to see if they were correct, but anyway, even if they're not exactly right, it's going to be sufficient to get across the point that I want to make. If you live 70 years on the earth, you will live about 840 months. You will live in excess of 3,600 weeks. You will live in excess of 25,000 days. And you will live about 612,000 hours on the earth if you live 70 years. Now, when it came to anything beyond hours, minutes, and seconds, I don't have those figures because when I figured them up, I didn't know how to read the numbers. But when we think about this, we know that when we get down to thinking about how many hours that we're going to live if we live a 70-year life, 600 and some thousand hours may sound like a lot. But in all of this, no matter how you break it down, and I want to read, share something further with you on this. There was a man that lived in the 1700s. He was a slave. His name was Thomas Fuller, and he was known as the Virginia Calculator. He never learned to read or write, but he had an amazing mind with figures and with arithmetic. And upon learning of this, there were two men that challenged him one time, and this was the question that they put before him. They asked Thomas Fuller, how many seconds would a man live if he lived on the earth 70 years, 17 days, and 12 hours? Now, I don't know where they came up. That seems like an arbitrary question to me, but that's what they asked him. How many seconds would you live if you lived 70 years, 17 days, and 12 hours? And they were astonished that in a minute and a half, he had the answer. And his answer was that you would have lived 2,210,500,800 seconds in that amount of time. That seems huge, doesn't it? I mean, when you get into the billions with anything, you're talking about huge numbers. But even with all of this, no matter how that you break it down, the Bible gives us the answer to what our lives really are. Even if we live on the earth well beyond the 70-year mark, even if we live here 100 years. Now, in Sunday school this morning, Brother Wheat reminded us of some in the book of Genesis that we read about that lived hundreds and hundreds of years. Methuselah lived on the earth for 969 years. And even if you lived that long, which you and I today, we know that's not going to happen. We're not going to stay here that long. In fact, probably very few of us, if any, that are here this morning will see the 100-year mark. Some may, but it'll be few if we do. But regardless of how many years that we live on the earth, James, in his writing, asked the question, what is your life? And then he answered it. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away. But I want you to think, and I tried to break down those months and weeks and days and hours and all that to try to make this point to you. When you think about that, when you think about the time that you pass here in this world, that you live here, and truly none of us know how long we're going to live. We don't know if we're going to reach the 70 years, or we don't know if we're going to go beyond the 70 years. There are some here today that have already gone beyond it. But we still don't know how many more days we're going to have, do we? We don't know when the hour is coming that God will call us from this life. I want you to understand today, because I'm afraid that too often we have a false conception of this and we view ourselves as being strong. The human being, I believe, has a tendency to view themselves as something strong, but we're not really strong. Actually, the human being is a very frail creature. David, one time in the psalm, in one of his psalms, made a request to God in prayer that God would show him just how frail that he really is, that he really was. And there is a great frailty to human life. And I think it's best described by this, that you and I are only a breath away from eternity. That's how frail that our lives really are. We are only one breath away from eternity. I have been with people. I have stood beside their bedside and witnessed people dying. And that's what it is. It is suddenly they don't breathe anymore. They're gone. They've died. Just one breath. And the loss of that one breath is all that it takes. We just die very quickly. That's what Elihu said here in the 20th verse, talking about different types of people. He was talking about those that are rich. He was talking about those that are poor. He was talking about kings. He was talking about princes. And he said, in a moment shall they die. In a moment shall they die. And the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away. And the mighty shall be taken away. And the mighty shall be taken away without hand. Sometimes I'm afraid that we don't want to see what's real. We don't want to take a good look at reality. But I remind myself many times when I'm thinking about things that I need to try to get done, when I'm thinking about oftentimes people that I need to pray for and people that I know that I need to try to talk to, oftentimes I remind myself that I can be gone just in the blink of an eye. And die very quickly. And if I don't take advantage of things I need to do, I'll leave them undone. Because we don't know when that day is going to come. But I do know this. And I know it if from nowhere else from what we read here in this 34th chapter of Job, that when it comes to death, the rich of the world, the poor of the world, those that hold mighty positions in the world, and those that hold what we might consider just very low positions of servitude, those that have risen to occupy great offices, and those that push a broom somewhere sweeping the floor will all die just the same. Just the same. I've said before that I have been to funeral services, memorial services of people that died and left this world that didn't have very much of the world's goods at all. I went one time and preached a funeral. This man had passed away, And I went and preached his funeral and had the double as a pallbearer because there weren't even enough people there to carry his coffin to the graveside. He had very little of this world's goods when he passed away. I've been to the funeral services of people that had done well in life in that way, in monetary ways. And you know, I have observed that when you go out there and bury their bodies, they get covered with the same dirt. There is no difference. There's no difference. Elihu made that point in this, that we all die the same. God is no respecter of persons. And death is coming to every one of us. And the thought that I wanted to share with you this morning is, as you think about these years and these months and these weeks and days and hours and minutes and seconds that you may spend here on the earth, you think about all of the things that you may do in your life. Because the human race seems to just get busier and busier and busier all the time. I mean, we run around, it seems, until we're dragging, until our tongues are hanging out, just trying to get everything done. And it seems like that among people that there seems to be less and less time all the time to just sit down and talk with each other. I mean, we live, for the most part, very rushed lives, busy, busy lives, trying to get everything in the world taken care of. And, you know, many of these things that we do, many of these things that we strive to accomplish when we're doing them, they seem to be so important in our minds, don't they? We have oftentimes the Martha syndrome. You know, getting that cooking taken care of seems so important to her. She was so cumbered by that. You know, she wanted Jesus, who was there in their house, and she wanted Jesus to have her sister leave him and come and help her with those things because it seemed so important to her. But, you know, she had sat down there at the feet of Jesus to hear him. And he told Martha that Mary had chosen the good thing. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good thing. And so we're striving and working and doing all of these things. And as I said, they seem to be so important to us. But friend, today, and I want to say this especially today to you that are here, if you have never been saved, that all of us are coming to this moment. We're coming to this one moment. No matter how you view things now, no matter how that you look at things now, no matter how that you prioritize things now. I thought this morning for a little while in Sunday school that Brother Wheat was just going to go ahead and preach my sermon. There is coming a moment in time. Brother Forshee made mention of this the other night in his good sermon. There's coming a moment of time when there's only one thing that's going to make any difference at all for any of us. There's a moment that you and I are facing that it's not going to make any difference how big your bank account is or how small that it is. It's not going to make any difference whatsoever what kind of house that you live in. It's not going to make any difference what kind of car that you drive. I'll tell you what, when you take those, when you take that contrast and you take those two types of people that I was talking about, that their bodies have been laid aside in death, and one of them, while he was here, was fairly wealthy, and the other was what we might consider a pauper. At that time that they had died and left this world, none of that made any difference, did it? Not one bit of it. made any difference at all. In a moment, they die. And the only thing that matters, and the only thing that will matter in that one brief moment that all of us are facing is whether or not we've been born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus taught us that in the form of a parable. In the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, he taught us about this man, and he said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself how that he was going to bestow all the fruit that his ground had brought forth. You see, he was cumbered about many things. He wasn't worried about what was really important. He was cumbered about these earthly things. Friends, listen, it's true. We heard it this morning. We heard it said in Sunday school, and it's absolutely true. People are just chasing everything. People are busy working towards everything and doing everything that they can to get a hold of the things of this life, things that will bring money, things that will bring fame, things that will give their flesh an advantage. They're doing everything they can in that way and neglecting the welfare of their eternal, immortal soul. It's true. It's true. That's what people in general are doing. It's all this man that Jesus talked about in the parable. That's all that he had on his mind. Where am I going to bestow my fruit? My barns are not big enough. I'm having an increase here that's more than what my barns can possibly hold. And that's all that his mind was on. And it was perplexing to him. And his plan was to just tear down the barns and build greater barns, and have barns sufficient in size to store up his fruit. And then his plan, once he got it all stored, his plan was to say to his soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast goods laid up for many years. Boy, he had everything figured out, didn't he? He thought he did. The Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall those things be? What difference will it make? It won't, will it? Because no matter what you have, or no matter how little you have of the world's goods, whether you have got too much to store in the barns you've got and you have to tear down those barns and build bigger barns to keep it all, or whether you've got so little that you could stick it in a matchbox, it doesn't make any difference. You're not taking any of it with you when you go. You're not taking it in abundance, or you're not taking a little bit either. We will leave all of it behind, and those things will only serve us here in this life. This man had a plan. He had a plan. But Jesus told him his plan wasn't any good, because tonight your soul will be required of you, and then what will these things do for you in the hour of death? You may have a plan. You may have devised in your mind some kind of plan. You may have your life laid out. You may have everything planned out in your life. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. If you want to set some personal goals, go ahead. But you remember this, that the most important thing is where you stand with the Lord.
And you need to take care of that first and foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you do that according to God's promise, and God always makes good on his promises, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and find him precious to your soul, I promise you by the authority of God's word that you will not have everything that you want in this world. But if you'll get saved and live your life for the Lord, bless your heart today, you will have everything that you need. God will see to it. David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen his seed forsaken, and I've never seen them begging bread. God will supply your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know this, that whatever plans that you have made, whatever course that you may have laid out for your life, you may think you've got it all figured out in your mind. You know, there's people that start in the days of their youth and they begin to try to plan everything. They begin to try to figure everything out. I'll do this in these years. In these years, I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'll just, work towards this. And there's very few people that life ever turns out the way they planned it. Very few. But I do know this, that if you live on the earth for 70 years, if you live on the earth for 100 years, or 90 years, or 80 years, this man, Thomas Fuller, that I was telling you about, that was known as the calculator, died at the age of 80 in 1790. If you live to be 80, or 90, or however long you live on the earth, you may only live to be 30. We just don't know that. But I do know this, that whatever you've planned for your life, if you live a long life according to the world's standards, you're never going to be able to devise a plan to escape the moment that I'm trying to talk to you about today. It's coming. It's coming. You can be certain today that every one of us here is an eternal bound person. Every one of us. Every one of us here has that moment that we have, that we are facing. When it's going to be, we don't know, but I can assure you today that that moment is coming for every one of us, that we're going to leave time and we're going to go out into eternity. And the way that you leave is the way that you will remain forever and forever. You read towards the end of the Revelation. John said, in that day, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. We will continue for eternity. Spiritually, we will continue for eternity in the shape that we're in when we leave this world. And if the tree falls toward the north or it falls toward the south, the place where the tree falls is going to be the place where it will lie. And you only have however many years and months and days and weeks and hours and seconds of time that God gives you to live here on the earth. That's all that you have to get ready for the moment when you draw your last breath. Someday, and it won't be long, even if it's another 30 years, it won't be long. Someday, you're not going to see me here. I'm not going to be dwelling in time anymore. I'm going to leave it all behind. I'm going to leave behind everything that I've ever possessed in this life. I'm going to leave behind every material possession that I have ever had. I'm going to leave it behind. I'm going to leave family behind. I'm going to leave friends behind. I'm going to leave the world behind. And just like we sang in the song this morning, one day I'm going to fly away. I'm going to fly away. Moses said, the days of our years are 70 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, and they are soon cut off, and we fly away. Going to leave, friend. You're going to leave. You may leave today. You may leave tomorrow. You may leave 60 years from now. Only God knows that. But I do know from God's word that in a moment, shall they die. In just a very brief moment of time, we'll depart this life and we'll go to our eternal respective abode. If you've been saved by God's grace, that's okay. I'll tell you the truth. There's a lot of people sitting here today that if I were to get word that you had left the world, it would sadden my heart. But if you've been saved, I take great consolation. I've got that news before. I know many of you know what I'm talking about. Somebody come and tell me that somebody's died and left the world, and it just crushed me. I mean, just really break my heart. But if they were saved, I could take the consolation that, you know, this separation won't be for very long, because none of us are here for long. We're going to get back together soon. But if you're lost today, what a horrible thing you're facing. I hope you understand that today and realize that today, that if you've not been saved, that moment when it comes upon you is, well, there's more terror in that than I could possibly even describe to you today. What a terrible thing to face eternity, lost and in your sins. What a horrible thought. You won't be able to reach out and grab onto anything. You won't be able to say, well, but I did this, or I did that, or I had this, or I had that. Jesus said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what the answer is? Nothing. There's nothing that you can swap with God. There's nothing you can give him. There's nothing you can give him in exchange. There's nothing or no way you can buy your way into God's grace and God's favor and God's heaven. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. Listen, friends, the clock's ticking. The seconds are passing away. Soon they're going to turn into minutes. Soon they're going to turn into hours. Soon they're going to turn into days, and they're going to turn into weeks and months, much quicker than you think. No matter how big the numbers sound to you, our life is a vapor that's just here for a little while and vanishes away. And salvation is a limited time offer. You need to take advantage of the day that the Lord has given you to seek him for the salvation of your soul. Because that moment for you may happen in the course of this 24-hour day. You may reach your moment. We just don't know. But the living know that they shall die. We know that it's coming, and you need to be ready in the moment that it comes. Let's stand and have a song. I want you to know, if you're here today and you're lost, I'm very, very concerned about your soul. The Lord is extremely concerned about your soul. He wants you to be saved. But you need to get concerned about your soul. You need to be concerned enough to repent of your sins and trust the Lord with all your heart. You need salvation. Friends, listen, you get that taken care of, and the most important thing is done. You need that more than you need the breath you breathe. You need that more than you need education. You need it more than you need companionship. You need the Lord more than you need anything. Won't you seek the Lord? If you're here today and you're lost, while we stand and sing, God help you to seek after Him.
Number 380, at the top of the page, 380.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, are you ready for that
day? How about
day
it, friend? Are you ready?
Come?
Are you ready for that moment
are
when you
ready?
Are going to leave this world?
Are you ready?
Is your soul ready?
Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Listen, before we have another verse or two of a song, I want you to listen to this, please. You may say in your mind today, you may say, well, that's just another one of those sermons that I've heard time and time again. The preacher warned us again about being ready because we don't know when that moment's going to come. Yesterday, I conducted a funeral service. A man that was 76 years old had passed away. One of his family members told me that not long ago that he said to her, if something were to happen to me, I just don't feel like I'm ready. Isn't that horrible? I mean, friends, we're talking about reality here. The devil will try to get you to dismiss it. He'll try to get you to say those things in your mind. Well, it's just another one of those sermons. Friends, it's real. It's reality. People die every day and they lose their last opportunity to ever make it right with the Lord. So, Brother Ronnie, if you would, just another verse or two of a song.
321.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear ye not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face a judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation, till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.
I thank you today for your attention. And I pray that you that are lost will seek the Lord and find him before it's too late. I know this. I don't know how much more opportunity God will offer you, but I do know this, that every one you push away is one less. One less time, one less day that you have to make your peace with God. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's be prayerful as we come back this evening and continue our revival services. Brother Nathan Jackson, would you please dismiss us in prayer? Yes. Thank you.
And thank you for the plan of salvation here, God. These things we ask in your precious and holy name.
Amen. Amen. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Have a good day. Take care, brother.